The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900wrestling. Head on over there right now. Subscribe for whatever you would like to subscribe for. And not only do you get all of our episodes, you also get access to our Discord. Just as soon as you sign up, your confirmation page will give you the link to the Discord. So you can be a part of the greatest wrestling community on the internet. Head on over there right now. That is patreon.com/1900wrestling. But enough talking about how we do the show. What do you say? We just do the damn thing!
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling!
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, is the man, the myth, the legend. He was hacking dreams all weekend from Austin, Texas, Willie Dills Gregory. Welcome back, man. You had a busy weekend.
A busy weekend for sure. One that was full of lots of nerdy activities and some barbecue, some drinking, some good times. It was fun. It was really fun. I'm enjoying the fact that DreamHack is a thing that they do in America now, which has been like a European staple forever. But for people who don't know, essentially it's a giant nerdy con surrounded around video games.
Yep.
And then they also have a whole area where you have like the largest LAN party ever. So everybody just sets up their computers, plugs them in. You can play against people on the same network. It's like a LAN party turned up to 11.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, the coolest thing about it, though.
What's that?
Is that you're at a big con.
Yep.
And I know you've been to many a con and you probably know this thing. Where do I put my stuff down?
Oh, huge
issue.
So I can
just go chill, right?
Yeah.
Well, here you have a special seat just for you with security guards right by it.
Nice.
You can just leave your backpack. Just put your whatever, all your stuff. Just put it down. Go do whatever you want. It's the best. That's really almost worth the price of the damn LAN seat.
Wow.
It's just like, it's like your own little cubby.
So you can just, you know, you buy something. Ah, whatever. I just bought that's the biggest reason why I never buy stuff at cons is because, like, hey, I'd love to have this gigantic, you know, figurine of
sure.
Ash versus the Evil Dead, but I don't know where the hell am I going
to
do
for
it.
The next 7 hours. Yeah. Yeah, that's clearly not worth it. So, yeah, and it's actually really secure. I was, the first year I didn't really trust it, and I didn't bring my actual computer. I brought, like, a laptop.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I guess I'll kind of trust this. But then I found out, like, later I researched it. No incidents. Your stuff is fine. They have 24-hour security. It's crazy.
Everything's there. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You were busy with DreamHack. I know you've seen a little bit of Payback last night.
The results, and I watched, like, most of the stuff that was really interesting for me. So, like, the Hardys and...
Yeah.
I definitely wanted to see how this whole House of Horrors thing shook out. Yeah.
The House of Horrors match. That is what we're going to spend a fair amount of this episode talking about. Fair warning. Now, Dills, I know that there was a contentious episode we had a couple episodes back where I think fairly on your behalf, you made the point that, hey, listen, you're here for the wrestling talk. Mm. You're not here for all this ancillary, random, you know, trivia stuff that sometimes I can get a little bogged down with. When it comes to
you're
this
a minutia
podcast.
Guy, it's fine.
I'm a minutia guy. So I've tried, knowing that you haven't seen the whole episode. I tried to make this episode a little bit more wrestling focused. So I have a question for you, and you have until the end of the episode to solve it. So in the effort to make this more wrestling focused, I would like to ask you this SAT-style question.
Sure.
If Bray Wyatt gets into a limo in Richmond, Missouri at 6:45 p.m. Pacific time and arrives at the SAP Center in San Jose at 7:07 Pacific time, how fast would that limo have had to drive to get him there to start the second half of the House of Horrors match?
Yeah, this is. I was wondering about this one myself, actually.
So while we noodle right, on right, that, right, just
yeah,
so
I'll see if I can locate an answer. I'm gonna have to pull my calculator out here, though.
Just so folks know, if you did not see the House of Horrors match, I actually thought it was pretty fun. Like I thought it was cool. I love the fact that it ended where all redneck fights end in the kitchen with somebody trying to push the refrigerator on his friend, like. It felt to me it was an enjoyable a piece of time. To be honest with you, I almost would have preferred it at WrestleMania. And granted, we had great seats for WrestleMania. It's better to see stuff in front of you than it is to see it on a gigantic screen. But
that would have been better than the actual match they had at WrestleMania. That was better than the actual match they had at WrestleMania. Yeah.
But those ingenious folks there on the internet, they found the actual House of Horrors. It is located at 3911 Business Highway 10, Richmond, Missouri. It is a one bed, one bath for $56,000 $560.
$211 a month, man. That is some affordable rent right there.
That is. All right, so here we go. This is the listing of the House of Horrors on Zillow. Older home. Setting on 3 acres of highway frontage, the house was built in 1905 of native timber. It is structurally sound and in need of an interior remodel to be habitable. On the 3 acres of the original barn, 20-by-20 shop building has been completely ribbed metal siding and a small pond. It does not mention in this Zillow listing the backwards moving tractor or the fact that it is indeed a house of horrors that appears
or
to be
the
haunted.
The tractor runs on its own, by the way. Too.
Running on its own.
Yeah.
And that it is probably in need of at least a new refrigerator. I think you're probably going to need
a new refrigerator.
One.
You probably have to get the weird, I don't know what they like dream catcher things that were being built all around the house. Out
yeah,
of
the weird
pigeon bones
weird,
and whatever. Yeah,
the weird True Detective.
It was very Blair Witch inside that little house there.
I know. I was almost hoping that that he would go up into the attic and he would just see, you know, Ted DiBiase's son and Cody Rhodes kind of like shaking in the corner with their faces pointed to the wall like the ending of the Blair Witch Project.
But again, like, I mean, this is the thing, like, I really enjoyed it because it was fun. Like, this is like, for me, the kind of stuff that like wrestling can do that you couldn't have like a UFC fight.
Else.
Conor McGregor in a House of Horrors match. Like, it's just, no, in wrestling, you could do this and it's fine. And you suspend belief for a second and you go, all right, he took a limo, 2,800 miles across the country. By the way, step one in figuring out this math problem. I know how many miles it is now.
Exactly. All right, we got how many miles it is.
Yeah, I'll take you step by step. And then so you know, like that kind of stuff you can do in professional wrestling. And I like it. I want more of this. This was way better than projecting cockroaches onto the ring, right? This was
sure
much more interesting.
And, you know, the set design was fun. I thought the action was good. It was a brawling kind of... Again, it just looked like... It looked like, you know, something that would happen late at night. Few too many pops, right? Next thing you know, you get into a fight with your friend you've known since high school because at some point you both dated the same girl and you start scrapping. Really, the only thing that was missing was other people saying, like, stop it! Stop it! Stop fighting, sure. You guys!
Sure. Yeah, I know. I mean, absolutely. It was. I thought the way that you would want to do a match like that, like you just had to kind of have them just be beating the crap out of each other, right?
Yeah.
It was like a little backstage segment, but just in a creepy house. And then, yeah, the refrigerator, I thought that was pretty good because then it made. Like, if Bray got there in a limo.
Yeah. Oh, no. Randy. Randy got there. So Randy got to the House of Horrors in a limo.
I skimmed a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bray.
So he struggled out. I didn't see him struggle out. He struggled out from under the refrigerator and got out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
But that was just implied.
I was expecting the trunk to pop open or something.
Okay.
That did not happen. Randy just appeared there. You know, apparently the at some point, you know, when Bray was giving Randy the password to the Wi-Fi at the compound. He also shared with him the secrets of teleportation that he has become so adept in.
Well, I mean, he was a Bray's disciple for a while, right? So he learned it from Bray. It's like
exactly.
It
no, Bray was, yeah. It's like.
That was part of the reason why he had to join them in the first place.
I know.
He had to first learn the powers of teleportation.
What you have to do, man, is just imagine happy thoughts. It might seem weird, but next thing you know, you're in a different place, man.
I feel like the step one of teleportation, according to Bray Wyatt, is to flick the light switch off, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Like, yeah. No, totally. And then run as fast as you can.
And then run real fast. Yeah, step two is be hiding under a ring for a long time. Step one is actually get another guy to turn a light off for
you.
Oh,
I'll tell you what. E-Tizzle Smash has a great theory here in the chat. He prestiged us. There are two Randy Ortons. Tell you what. Fucking the spoilers for the Prestige book and movie, but I feel like, you know, next thing you know, if we see a training montage with Michael Caine, you'll know what's going on. We got some more news from Payback. Probably the biggest thing from what I thought was an above average pay-per-view, and really, from a storytelling perspective, everything moved forward. Every match ended with the next match teased. Either sure. by surprise or by outright storytelling. It was very, very understood that Chris Jericho was going to lose because it's easy to go ahead and type into Google Fozzy tour dates and find out that he has a paying gig in Charlotte mm-hmm. on Friday. So yeah. If that's true, then he theoretically probably will not be on a lot of wrestling going forward. And yet he's your United States champion setting up what I assume will be a really rad SmackDown this week. You've got
yeah, totally.
Title changes for the women. You've got the now Neville resorting to cheating to win
yes.
to keep his title. That's a development. But really the biggest one was something that was teased early in the evening. I don't know if you saw this because you were at DreamHack here, Dills, but this was tweeted out by one Matt Hardy. Meek Mahan has catered to my desires. Delightful. He
oh,
has
wow.
a picture of catering
yes.
here. So a little bit of a double entendre. But what we had heard in the rumor mill over the week was that the whatever behind-the-scenes machinations about the broken gimmick had been settled,
yep.
and we are now moving headlong into probably the reason why Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy are back with the company right now, which is how popular that character had gotten over.
Yeah. And I assume that we're going to ease into it, right? Because he has been, you know, like last night you even heard audibly, if you were watching, like, delete when he did
yeah.
the hand motion, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
he's yelling it now. Now it's fully... Because before he was, like, he was doing the weird smile with the very toothy smile. He was doing the delete. He was doing, you know, the arms out. He was still very much like halfway in between.
Well, we even noticed it at Ring of Honor before
yeah.
they had come back to WWE that he seemed to have, it seemed like the line of how much he could do the gimmick was he could do one motion, but
yeah.
he did not do multiple motions.
He couldn't
right?
do it all. Yeah.
So
yeah.
he would do one delete and
yeah.
hope everybody would start doing it. But he wouldn't just keep doing delete, delete, delete to
sure,
ensure that the crowd would get it going, right?
Yeah. yeah.
He started doing
but
a little bit of
I mean, this is great news. This is really great news because, you know, first of all, it's just stupid. Like, I think it's just stupid, like, to have these little petty squabbles at the expense of, like, everybody's entertainment, right? And I get it. Companies are companies. They got to try to protect their assets. But it's like, you know, the character really is him. And if you look at it, we're going to talk a little bit about Billy Corgan later, but apparently
yeah.
he had something to do with the character at some point.
Oh, really?
But yeah, yeah. So if you look, Broken Gimmick apparently was kind of split amongst Matt and then three people at TNA who, like, helped him work it out or something like that.
And Corgan was one of them.
And Corgan was one of them, yeah. But mostly it was – hold on. Oh, yeah, I can find this again. Mostly Jeremy Borash, apparently.
Oh yeah, well he said that, especially with Final Deletion.
Yeah.
The all those vignettes were him and Jeremy Borash like just farting around with digital
coming
cameras
up with
on
stuff,
his compound.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so you know, but again, it's like okay, so somebody helped you come up with it, and now you just like now claim it as like we have it, not you, the wrestler who's actually playing the character. Like this
yeah.
stuff just bothers me. So I'm just happy that whatever they needed to do has been done. WD, that's a huge thing for them to do. Like, go out there and do whatever it is. Whatever TNA needed from, or now not TNA, but
Impact.
Whatever Impact needed from them, Anthem needed from them, they were willing to do that to make sure that the show was good. So that makes me happy, man. Because there would have been a time, I think, WWE would have just been like, we'll call you, like, Shattered Matt.
Matt Hardy.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. It'll be fine, right?
So here's what happens. If you did not see Payback, Matt eats the bro kick, goes down. Yep. Seems as if he's had some kind of head trauma now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very slow to get up, slow to the back. And this, a tweet from Sheamus, toothless and broken, it reads. Oh, here we go. Toothless and broken tonight was delightful. Hashtag WWE Payback is retweeted and quoted by Matt Hardy. You obsolete heretics. You have no idea what you've just done. Followed by an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You mundane mule from Ireland. I will eat you. As well as this sportsmanship malarkey. WWE Cesaro and Sheamus is over with a big a gif of him and Jeff Hardy saying delete, delete, delete. All right.
They still have the titles, though.
They've got the titles.
Yeah.
Oh, no, so that was a brutal match.
They have to lose them or something, right? Now, did you hear? Now, they also apparently teased, and I missed this, but I just kind of read that they also apparently had some sort of a run-in or a discussion with the Golden Truth on the actual pay-per-view? Did that happen?
Golden Truth came out in a pre-match little backstage where they said, hey, it's great to have you guys back. We love you guys. But we're going to challenge for the titles whoever wins. We hope it's you. But, you know, that's that. And so as they walk off, there was a great little moment by Matt Hardy where he just kind of here. You want to know what? I feel like it's actually even on his thing. So Phil, for a second, and I'll just bring up this one moment.
So the reason why I was really asking about this, though, too, is because I'm trying to figure out exactly how. Okay, so broke kick to the head. Okay, they could definitely use that as kind of a catalyst, right, to start sitting over the edge. But really, I mean, doesn't a lot of the broken character center around him feeling like he's failing and he's got to kind of change everything about himself to stop failing, right? Because, like, it was getting beaten up by his own brother and kind of, like, coming to realization. Like, that's kind of how it felt to me.
Sure.
Like,
I mean, I don't
who
watch,
I am isn't working, right?
I don't watch enough Impact to really know how that came about. Here's what
I
do know.
A lot of the stuff coming up, but it was essentially they had just a feud.
Yeah.
Where nobody was broken. And then because Jeff jumped off of the top of a cage and landed on him on a table, it somehow jolted something in his brain. But also it was like he needed to beat Brother Nero.
Yes.
Like prove it to himself. That was what the
him.
Whole character was about from the beginning. Right.
Well, yeah. Although I guess for the majority of wrestling fans, the character was debuted with, like, do you see what the hell Matt Hardy's doing right now?
Sure,
like, it was
sure.
just this weird curiosity of, like, why is he doing this? And are these videos terrible or are they amazing? Like, and realizing
that was my introduction, too. I was like, okay, something. Keep talking about this character. I have no idea what it is. Let me just look on YouTube and see what the latest thing is. Holy crap, what is this? That was my introduction as well.
And so I think that's really all they need to do is just, he's going to be weird. And for the majority of the people who have not seen it, which is a huge, gigantic portion of WWE's audience, right?
Yeah, who knows? Doesn't know why everybody's yelling delete.
I mean, here's the deal, right?
What's going on?
WWE just launched a show in Arabic.
Hmm.
Do you think that the people in Dubai who just kind of like wrestling know who the hell Matt Hardy, or they knew Matt Hardy when he was Matt Hardy? They knew the you know, Team Extreme, right? So they're happy to see him back. But there is a gigantic audience, a far larger audience than knows who Broken Matt and Hardy is now, that's going to just get to live with this character. And however that comes to me, all right, here's my fantasy booking for tonight. Raw. Matt Hardy. We don't know if he's medically cleared. In fact, doctors are keeping him under lock and key. he's been spouting off these crazy tweets that they can show, right? Yeah. Maybe not the ones with GIFs from TNA television, but some of the other GIFs, right? Or some of the other tweets. He's being currently surrounded by his family and friends, including Jeff Hardy and his wife and his baby, you know, and then maybe, you know, I don't know, who knows whether or not they want to introduce Senior Benjamin as his father or his father-in-law or his gardener, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe tease it a little bit of like, is he going to be able to go? The Golden Truth are challenging for the titles, so maybe there's a question of whether or not they're going to need to defend them tonight. And then dramatic presentation. Boom. There he is. Sure. Broken Matt Hardy.
Okay. All right. I mean, I can feel it. And the thing is, I kind of just, whatever they do, I want it to feel fresh. Like, I want it to feel like WWE's version of it. I definitely don't want them to just rehash the exact same thing. So,
yeah.
If they go about it a different manner, maybe he doesn't even have to feud with Jeff this time. Maybe it's like other stuff happens or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe Jeff is just immediately like, what is wrong with you? What's going on? Rather than kind of his immediate adversary. And they can have somebody else kind of jump in and be that. But so the reason why I was thinking about this, though, is like, are they at all trying to maybe set up Goldust and R-Truth to have anything to do with this, do you think? Or are they, because Goldust is super weird, man. And if you had a Goldust, Broken Matt feud.
I mean, I can't find the clip, but there's this great moment as they both leave and Goldust does his like kind of thing.
Sure.
And Matt is like looking at them as they leave, and it's like I love those two. They're so entertaining. And it's just like, oh God, I love it. I love that he's there, and whatever version of it, I'm just so excited. But you're right. A Goldust versus Broken Matt Hardy feud. I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. I'm here for every little second of
with R-Truth and Jeff kind of on the outskirts, wondering what the hell is going on with their two former partners.
I mean, I think that to me, all right. So you want to build a SummerSlam feud? Like, you could do Matt and Jeff, and it's Jeff has no idea what's happening with Matt.
Sure.
And is just like, oh my God, like, I mean, I'm here for my brother, but like, this is getting really, really weird. And you know, who knows if they want to introduce Rebby, who knows if they want to introduce, you know, King Maxwell again.
Yeah, like, does his family have the same kind of involvement? I'm not sure. I mean, that part of it to me was one of the most hilarious things of all, was just that was just like, it was like, okay, his family is just totally seemed fine with the fact that dad just got super weird all of a sudden. They're totally behind him, like 100%. I don't know. That I thought was great. Like, normalized the character in a pretty interesting way.
Oh, fantastic. It was not only normal, it was great. It was the greatest thing that's happened to the family, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so there we go. That's tonight. We would love to see something happen. I mean, it is the reason why I'm looking for Raw right now. Are you any closer to solving our SAT question?
I actually am. So I it's been a long time since I've done one of these, but I think the formula is generally just the miles over the minutes times minutes per hour. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Or minutes over hour. Right. Because there's 60 in an hour. So miles, 2,875 miles.
Okay. That is from the House of Horrors as it was recorded.
22 minutes. Right.
Yeah.
So if you drove 2,875 miles in 22 minutes, and then you multiply that by 60 minutes in an hour, you'd have to be going 7,840.9 miles per hour.
That is certainly we were doing this math while the pay-per-view was going on. I will reveal this was from Jay Veezy, who won himself a shirt doing this last night. So I think he just did from San Jose, California. So maybe not the SAP Center. But he had 1,862 miles. in 22 minutes, or an average of 5,700 or 5,078. What is that exactly? What you had?
No. I have from Richmond, Virginia to San Jose, California is 2,875 miles.
Oh no, Richmond, Missouri.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That changes things. Okay,
it does change things.
Hold on. How many actual? Yeah. Okay. Because I typed Richmond.
Oh, no, no, no.
And then I didn't even pay attention.
So this apparently, if you want to put two and two together, this is Richmond, Missouri is about an hour, less than an hour outside of Kansas City. Raw last week was in Kansas City. So you would assume that that was the easiest place for them to shoot that. It was not shot in California. But I just want to give everybody.
Okay, wait. I have 5,078.18.
5,078. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's
what Jay Veezy got. So there we go. You win. You win.
I just had the wrong Richmond. Yeah, I didn't even pay attention.
You nailed the SATs.
Auto completed, and then I just said, okay, cool. Okay, so that's more believable.
So
I was like, man, 8,000 miles an hour. That's crazy. 5,000 miles an hour. That's totally doable.
Let's also understand that that would be a new land speed.
That's
record.
Right. So that not only was last night a night of title changes,
yes,
and swerves, but it was a night of record breaking land speeds.
There we go. The fastest speed recorded over 1 mile on September 17th, 2012 was in the Bonneville Salt Flats by George Poteet in a supercharged Chevrolet small block that went 700. And 6.5 miles an hour.
And Bray just said, hold my beer.
I know. Also, no, he just said, driver, take me to the SAP center.
It was so funny because the limo driver just took off. He's like, all right, a sweaty guy who clearly just got into some sort of a situation, just jumped into the back of my limo.
Yeah.
In the middle of Richmond, Missouri, out by the friggin' highway. There's a little house, 3 acres, with a pond. That's where he wanted to get picked up. Now he wants to go directly to San Jose. And step on it, man. I got to be there in 22 minutes.
Turns back, where we're going, we don't need roads.
All of a sudden, Doc Brown turns around. Throw some bananas in the back, Marty.
All right. Did you see any of the after show?
No, I didn't see any. All right,
then I'm going to show you a clip.
Okay.
Hopefully, you have not seen it. I
guarantee I haven't.
I literally just want your reaction. This was after Raw, after the pay per view had gone off the air. Roman Reigns, of course, beaten clean in the ring, 1-2-3 by Braun Strowman. He is being helped. He's coughing up blood on the walls. And he is being led to the ambulance. This is after the...
Oh, no, I did see this.
All right, well...
This was after show.
This was the after show. Here we go.
Okay.
I just want you to watch this one more time.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah, he coughed blood up on the wall right before this. It was disgusting. Oh my god. All right, so hold on. Now,
it's the best. It's always the best.
This to me, the funniest thing was, I'm not finished with you yet. Like, again, like that's like his new line now, right?
It is. Roman. It's his new catchphrase.
So after like watching, I kind of skimmed through, but I did watch pretty much all of this match. But like, just the immediate reaction is like, that you could go so far with this, right? Like, it would be hilarious if they're like, Braun murders Roman Reigns, and like at his funeral, he's like laying in the coffin, and all of a sudden you hear, "I'm not finished with you yet.
I'm not finished with you yet."
And then the entire crowd at Roman's funeral starts chanting, "Thank you, Strowman." It was just like somebody's gonna make this as like a little comic book or cartoon or something, right?
So
like,
by
that
the
is
way,
definitely happening.
All right, I'm scrubbing through this right now for those of you who are only listening. Like, at what point does Roman notice that Braun has taken, like, a 50-step head start to, like,
he's at full speed by this point.
I mean, listen, like, when we were at the Royal Rumble and he was coming through the crowd, we're maybe, like, we're across the arena from him.
Sure.
But you can tell that he's trying to, as secretly as possible, make his way through the crowd to interfere in that match of the Royal Rumble. He has to be the most conspicuous person in any room at any time. He is so
He's
huge.
Not a good cat burglar.
He's not a good cat burglar. But this is how this is him. This is how fast he's going when you literally just scrub through it. This
All right, SAT question. How fast was Braun Strowman running?
Braun Strowman was going faster than Bray Wyatt in the limo.
Exactly. At this point, Braun is breaking 5,500 miles per hour.
Dude, look at that.
Yeah.
Just ripping. So, and then here's the other thing that you might not notice unless you have obsessively watched this clip like the Zapruder film like I have, is how far. Look at how far that door lands. It lands like another ambulance length away from the full ambulance as he goes tumbling into the air boxes.
Now, I wonder if I'm so glad that there was a bunch of empty boxes right there, by the way.
Thank God. Roman, thank God.
I want Roman getting hurt. I don't want my Braun touched.
No.
One little bit.
Thank you, no, boxes.
Do you think that thank you, boxes. Do you think that they actually doctored that door? Do you think they were like, Braun, you think you could just rip this door off?
I think that they probably...
I bet Braun could just rip the damn door
probably
off.
Probably was a little gimmicked. I think it was probably just a little, just a wee bit gimmicked.
Yeah, let's just unscrew some of these and, I mean, look, that was pretty fun, man. I'm really enjoying Braun Strowman being... And you know what? I thought they were going to have Roman overcome the odds and then Braun get mad again. They had Braun win the match.
It
was great.
They beat him. Clean.
Yep.
I mean, granted, he came like he kind of did everything that you kind of want Roman Reigns to do if you actually want to get sympathy for him as a babyface, right? Like, he sold his injury. He lost a match he should lose because he was so injured.
But he still fought heroically.
He fought heroically, and now we'll see where he goes. He has to pick up
the
pieces.
And by the way, the old thing about him not wanting to get on the stretcher, I don't know if you caught this, but he knows. He knows now. He's learning Braun's moves.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I get on that stretcher, you can throw that off of an edge.
No.
Uh-uh.
Sorry,
I'm
homie.
I'm too smart for that. Everyone's just like, look at how brave he is. No, he's not brave. He's smart,
it should
man.
It should be that the meme of the guy pointing to his head. It's like, you can't get thrown off a loading dock on a stretcher if you never get on the stretcher.
Exactly.
All right, just a little stuff here as we round toward the back half of the show here.
Sure.
Billy Corrigan, you mentioned he was one of the brain trusts that came up with the broken gimmick. Really, kind of this little mini boom time for TNA, then TNA wrestling before the purchase by Anthem. He is back in the wrestling business and has purchased NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance. Unclear.
I don't know how big NWA or how much it's still like worth at this point, because it's now essentially like a loose collection of independent promotions, right?
The
like they just kind of tie them together?
The answer is it is nothing. It's literally just a name.
Yeah.
So he has bought the rights to say the name. He has bought the rights to have the belt, the NWA Championship belt.
Yeah.
But it's a dead brand. It's not like he's picking up anything. He's not buying a roster with talent.
Yeah, because the actual wrestlers are tied to their independent promotions, who then essentially, at this point, I think, just like apply to be considered an NWA promotion, like that can use, like can have like someone fight for one of their belts, right?
Yeah,
because they still have a bunch of belts. I don't know even know how much more. It's just now, like you said, it's a name. It's like, oh, we get to say that this is like for the NWA belt, and then people go, oh, cool, I'll go see that, right?
So here's the question I have for you, though, because indie wrestling right now is very, very hot. You know, you live in Austin, promotion Wrestle Circus kind of microwaved itself over the past years, now one of the hottest indie federations in the world, right? They just had a big sold-out show, and they
yeah,
will certainly have...
Yeah, over this weekend. I couldn't go, unfortunately, but yeah, sounded amazing.
Certainly have many, many more. I'm going to go to a live show at the Cow Palace. This is previously the kind of place that only WWE and WCW would run. It's going to be an indie show this weekend. Very, very hot. It is compared often these days to the territories. Regional promotions that can share talent. You want to see the big star here, face the big star over here. Is there room now for what the NWA used to be, which is the governing body of the territories, where you would say, all right, let's all get on the same page and let's make Joey Ryan, let's make Cody Rhodes, let's make Mike Elgin, a lot of these talents that right now Ricochet that are really big on non-televised promotions.
And they also work in the televised promotions and then the non, like they work like all of it, right?
Yeah, they work a lot of stuff. But yeah. Is there room for a group where everybody has a seat, the old famous smoky back room where everybody can say and have a vote, let's make this guy our champion, the NWA champion, and we'll tour all the independent federations and we'll have our baby face go against them. You know, it'll be the big, we'll market our biggest shows of the year around that. Like, does that make sense in 2017?
I think it does, actually, because here's the thing that indie promotions still can't really do is storylines, right?
Yeah.
So it's really tough, unless you're literally coming to every single show. You know, like Wrestling Circus, if I show up at Wrestling Circus, I don't know what the hell the current storyline is, right? Like,
no.
And essentially, you can't focus on that as the promotion because it's not going to come
across.
Because
there's new
people. It's not going to work,
yeah.
Right? This is what WWE can do. This is what TNA can do. This is what essentially Ring of Honor can also kind of do. Like, these, because they actually are, you know, showcased somewhere consistently where people can catch it, right? Even New Japan, I think, kind of does it, but doesn't do it as much as it's more about the wrestling there too.
Yeah.
But the thing you could always do is if there's one guy everybody knows nationally and then there's your local guy, you could have them fight a la Ric Flair all over the place for years, right? I mean, that worked super well. And if you're not like stepping on the toes of the other stuff and like trying to do the same thing, you're offering a different idea. I think it could work really well. And if Billy Corgan's the guy who people like enough and trust him and whatever, and is willing to just kind of put the money out there, which he loaned money to TNA. Like, I don't know how much money Billy Corgan's sitting on, but apparently
he's sitting on good, some pretty good coin, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, if he's the guy who could say, all right, I will just put up the money so the wrestlers get paid and you as the promotion, you get something out of it because, you know, the TNA or the NWA stuff is happening. Yeah, the funny thing, I looked up NWA after you posted this.
Yeah.
Just kind of see, like, what even is it at this point?
Yeah.
They still have 6 titles currently, like, live right now. Like,
yeah, people have these titles.
Yeah, so Tim Storm is the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion. 51-year-old Tim Storm.
Okay.
Legend. He's had it for 192 days. So, and Jazz is the women's champion.
Oh, my God. That Jazz?
Yeah. At 43 years old, yeah.
You're
still
right.
Still rocking. So, I mean, it's, it's like, it's still a thing, but I didn't really know. And if it became more of a thing in kind of the popular culture of wrestling again, I think that would be nothing but good. So, I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for this to work really well.
I mean, I guess, what would that look like, though? Like, is it just, you know, because here's what Corrigan can bring. Money and promotion, because he's famous.
Yep.
So, he knows how to promote things, probably knows how to set up an event, you know, and he knows how to get the word out. So, I think if his pitch is, all right, you got a lot of these promotions that either have affiliation with maybe Flow Slam or something, but not a ton of ways that you can see them, except to buy DVDs, you can say, all right, let's get the 6 best. So I'm just naming off the top of my head. Wrestle Circus, AIW in was it Cleveland or Chicago? Then the other one that's not AIW that's in Cleveland or Chicago that I can't remember. PWG. I mean, there's a lot of these that you wind up seeing a lot. Basically, go look at Joey Ryan's schedule and pick five of them, right?
Yeah. Good place to start.
And then you say, okay, well, let's all say that there's one guy from one of these rosters that we tore around and we cut promos. Like, we set it up and we build it on social media until, like, we have these big things, and we'll keep it on this guy for a while. It won't really matter what happens in your town, because we'll keep the title on this guy for a long time, and then for a year, then we'll switch the title, and now your federation gets the guy.
Yeah,
I think it would be interesting, because even now, you see that the titles from other federations mean something. You know, they invented that UK title, and effectively, it's just been a cool thing that they can do at Progress and ICW and Rev Pro shows out in the UK. You know,
I think the one thing is a tricky situation, because you probably don't want your NWA title, which it kind of currently is, but if you're trying to build it up as a big deal, you don't necessarily want it just in high school auditoriums and stuff like that as much as you want it to be seeming like a big deal, right? But maybe these shows could become a bigger deal, and if there's a little more money behind it. But like the companies that are kind of doing, bigger than that, they have their own titles, right? Like they have their own thing going on. So it's, how do you fit it in with all the other stuff?
Yeah, but like, just make it the thing that you are the traveling champion, right?
Exactly.
There's the idea of, even
you
if
you can't step on their toes either. You have to be like, it has to be, generating extra. It has to be bettering their product, not getting in the way of it, right?
So here we go. Mr. Heald points out, this would be his pitch. AAW and AIW, one of them's in Chicago, one of them's in Cleveland. I forget which is which. I think AAW is in Chicago, AIW is in Cleveland. Wrestle Circus in Austin, APW out here in the Bay Area. WPX, I don't know where that is. And House of Hardcore, I believe, is out in
what's APW?
Long
that is
Island.
Is that
APW,
Hood Slam?
That's All Pro Wrestling. That's the one that's going to play the Cow Palace this weekend.
Oh, okay. But what? So Hood Slam is its own thing too, then, right?
Hood Slam's its own thing. But to me, Hood Slam would be great to be a part of something like that. But they have very, very, very. That's very intensely storyline focused. And not the APA, not the Acolytes Protection Agency. That they are not involved. Let's see what is WPX Wrestling. Wrestle Pro Extreme? I don't know.
But I mean, there's a ton of these. That's the thing. There's a ton of these, and they would benefit, and obviously the NWA title, if you're trying to rebuild it back up, would benefit just from being something that shows up all the time and is constantly being talked about. You got to get it to be talked about again. That's really the key.
Okay,
here.
So WPX is in North Carolina. It's a promotion that the Hardys are close to. But yeah, okay. No, I've heard good things about that too. So, sure. I think there's an idea here. There is something to, let's bring some kind of very basic story thread to all of these promotions that are right now doing well.
Yeah.
That have good houses, that have a little heat to them, that get great talent. The talent right now in the indie scene is off the charts. Let's spotlight a few of these kind of guys and just make them a bigger deal. But I don't know whether or not that's what he wants to do. He might just want to say, like, all right, I want to start up a little federation in Chicago again. And I just want
maybe
a cool
that's
name.
What I mean. So currently NWA, I know it's like headquartered in Texas, Brownsville, Texas. I'm just looking it up right now. But I mean, that's not a thing that matters. Like, nobody knows or cares about that, right? Like, it's just funny to like look up all this stuff. They have a board of directors that still exists. I can see now, this is what you do if you want to become an affiliate. You go to them and you essentially say, we want our little promotion to be part of it, and they have to approve you. I mean, it's still a thing. There's still stuff happening. We just don't hear about it, right? So obviously now Billy Corgan buying it means we're going to be talking about it again. Bruce Tharp is not the forefront of everybody's, it's not on the tip of everyone's tongue.
He didn't write Siamese Dream. Get out of here.
Exactly.
What the hell are you
Billy
talking
Corgan
about, Bruce
comes
Tharp?
Out as an on-screen character, maybe. All right, sure, I could be interested in that. The weird bald guy from Smashing Pumpkins who now apparently really likes pro wrestling. Okay. This is
Isn't
perfect.
That one of the weirdest things ever? Like, especially because he was just such the hero for, like, the emo art kid.
You know,
for everybody. It's just everybody who wore the Zero t-shirt. I don't imagine them being the biggest marks on the planet. And yet here he is, Billy Corgan. You know, he's just begging, pleading to get involved in wrestling in any way possible.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was the band, like, if you... You know, like if you liked Nirvana, then the other kid was like, "Well, I like Smashing Pumpkins."
I like Smashing Pumpkins.
And you're like, "Oh, so you're the cool one." Okay, got it. Like it was like, it's weird. It's very, very strange. But this is one of the reasons why we love wrestling, right?
Sure.
Like the weird just seems to happen.
Mr. Heald says, "I think the worry would be oversaturation. This might be a turning point for people to move from the indies again." The reason why the indies are hot, the indies aren't hot because people want to go to independent wrestling shows, okay? Independent wrestling shows have always existed. The indies are hot right now because the talent is hot right now. Because you know who Joey Ryan is. You know who Ricochet is. You know who the Young Bucks are. Well, the Young Bucks less now, but because they don't do a lot of the indie shows like they used to. But you know that these guys are a thing. They have a presence on social media, and you want to go see them. You want to pay your hard-earned money to go see them. That's why it's a thing. And like,
and
right
when they
now,
show up on WWE, they get huge pops now, like all these people. Like,
absolutely.
That's why WWE is starting to snatch all these people up, because they're getting hot on their own, right? And if these guys can do it without a crowd behind you, and just getting famous on the internet, essentially, right? Then, like, how can it not work in front of a giant crowd that we're going to provide every single night? So,
and by the way, if you were looking for somebody that had both the clout and the inclination to be bigger than life and recreate a indie territory kind of thing, is there anybody better suited for it than Cody Rhodes? He's got the name not only from the WWE, he's got the name, grandson
literally.
Of a plumber, right? And I think that's the kind of thing that really would tickle his pickle. I mean, he did a Texas bull rope match or a cowbell match. He's doing a cage match in the Cow Palace this Sunday or this Saturday.
Well, yeah, like, these are great because you don't need a storyline. You just need like a gimmick match, right? And then like it's great. It's fun.
Yeah.
No, he'd be perfect. I mean, also, you know, his dad was big with NWA, right? So, yeah,
it would be very, very, very curious. All right, real quick, before we get into the end of the show, I do want to give a big shout out to Anthony, who wrote in a ton of Reddits, because we always wind up picking on some of the circle jerkery that happens there at the Squared Circle.
Mm.
But he did want to point out that there are a lot of other wrestling Reddits. Some of them are very helpful. Others are a little weird. So I'm just going to run through them real quick, Dills, and I want you to tell me whether or not you are interested in this subreddit or you are not interested in this subreddit. All right. So here we go. R British Wrestling.
Yeah, sure. I'm interested. All right. I'll check that out.
R Chikara.
Probably would have been more interested in it a few years ago.
R CZW.
Sure. All yeah. Right.
How about this one? R Fantasy Bookers.
Meh.
maybe we don't need more fantasy booking.
No, I think I can handle that one just on my own, and I try not to.
Although I do like the idea that it exists, just so now when it happens, you can just say, hey, take that shit to our fantasy bookers.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good play. That's a good point. It's like, here's where you should be doing this.
Yes.
Not now.
Not right here. Yeah.
Yes.
How about our indie wrestling?
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Let's put it all together.
A little bit more broad, our pro wrestling.
It just feels like someone else came up with another way for Squared Circle and it didn't catch on as much
me. ROH.
That's a serious catch-all. ROH, yes, definitely.
All right. How about R WrestleFap?
WrestleFap? ooh. See, I prefer not to get my wrestling and my fapping worlds colliding. Try to keep those separate if I can.
You don't want to cross the streams?
No, I don't want to cross the streams, man. Nope. In fact, it makes me uncomfortable just to think it, like the whole Paige thing. I was looking at stuff and I was like, this just feels incredibly uncomfortable to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop looking at this now.
All right. How about this
one?
As
a journalist, I had to a little bit.
I mean, hey, look, we're doing it for you guys. Are wrestle figs?
I have no idea what that is. So
take
yes,
a
I'm
guess. Take it. Don't look at it. Take a guess on what are wrestle figs is.
A weird thing where wrestlers are eating Fig Newtons. No, it's toys, isn't it?
It's toys. Like figurines. It's toys.
Okay.
Immediately, I'm like, oh no, this is dicks, isn't it? These are dicks. These are they call dicks figs, and they just
wrestle space dicks. Yeah.
Yeah. Although there was like a 4,000 word deep dive on exactly how big Batista's dick was on Squared Circle last week.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's one that did grow in popularity during the Paige scandal. That's Wrestle with the Plot.
Yeah, this is where I was unfortunately forced to go to.
Are wrestling nostalgia?
That sounds kind of fun. Hell yeah.
Are wrestling videos?
That sounds good, yeah.
Are WWE underscore network and are WWE games?
Yeah, whatever. I don't need those. I got the network already.
Hold on.
Like,
I
wish the wrestling games were fun again, man. I feel like they're not as fun as they used to be.
Mr. Heel does point out, how about a late entry? R wrestle with the package. Would you be interested in R wrestle with the package?
All right. Scott Dawson should be like on the side of that one, no matter what.
That
weirdest wrestling package in the biz right now.
That's apparently the dick centric version of Wrestle with the Plot is Wrestle with
the
Package.
You knew it existed. You knew it was out there somewhere.
Of course. Tell you what, if it exists, there's a subreddit for it.
This is the internet we're talking about.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and reveal last week's Melodica Challenge. Here we go. That obviously, of course, is...
Your NXT champion.
Yeah, the one... The only Bobby Roode. I'll tell you what. I hope this is something I didn't know I think I would ever say. But okay. I hope Trey is shittier on this one.
Yeah. I hope he's I want his skills to have regressed.
I know.
Because he's starting to get too good at the moment.
I might need to just tell him, no, you do not record these. Unless,
maybe
unless you are
drunk. Maybe
have
a few more drinks before you start recording these.
Yes, no. We want you to be totally wasted while you're doing these. All right, here is this week's Melodica Challenge. One more time.
I'm in there. I only needed the first two notes.
If you want not only the answer to this, but also the downloadable link for all of these Melodica Sounders, you can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/1900wrestling. We post that the day that the episode goes up, so make sure that you check that there. Dills, what do you got going on?
Thankfully, nothing for a while. So
yeah, no, you had a hell of a week. You had company, and then you had DreamHack.
I feel like I just need to be able to chill and get the stream going every day, and not have things to do, things to go to. I just want to play a little pool, eat some barbecue, play some Hearthstone. I'd like to actually spend this month getting Legend again and doing that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so,
you think may Dills get Legend?
I got real close without even really trying last month. So, just kind of messing with different decks. So, I think I'll actually try to play the strong stuff. So check me out, twitch.tv/WillieDills. That's where it'll be happening.
Dude.
And it'll be lots of fun. Lots of fun.
Hearthstone's King of Strong Style.
That's
Willie
right.
Dills. All right. You can follow me, Justin R. Young, everywhere. I'm going to be posting the Melodica Challenges. throughout the week on the different places. Of course, on Snapchat is where I love to talk to people. Tell me what you thought of the show right there. You can email the program, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put wrestling in the subject line if you got something to say or some weird wrestle crap you want to share with us. But until next week, this is Justin Robert Young for Willie Dills Gregory saying we still don't have an ending tagline. Call us back.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been around in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.